right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. It is April 17th, 2022, and we are celebrating the resurrection. The message today is the glories of resurrection. And I am Dr. Mary Craig. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you, Lord, for the radical obedience, the life of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you that he was sent on a mission with a message, and we, because of your love, O God. And we thank you today especially for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we will be reverent and we will come to understand the power of the resurrection. And Lord, we come before you on bended knee with our heads bowed in humility before you. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That you, Lord God, would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord God, open our minds to comprehend, perceive, and understand, and open our hearts to receive what you have for us today, Lord, from your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who applies to us what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And so, Lord, we do ask to know the power of Jesus' resurrection and the glory of it and what it means in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 20. All right, today we want to consider the glories of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it means for those in Christ. So, number one, forgiveness and removal of sins. This is our deepest need being met by Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. He bore our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Everyone whose heart has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, who has turned in faith and been granted repentance unto life, has been justified on the ground of Christ's death, paying the penalty for sin and satisfying divine justice. Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Jesus purchased our acquittal. So we have judicial acquittal now. Jesus purchased our acquittal, meeting all necessary and sufficient conditions. Jesus' resurrection from the dead demonstrated that the wrath of God had been propitiated. Redemption was completed by the blood of the Lamb. Reconciliation would overcome our alienation from God. Sin, with its debt and liability, is canceled, and Satan's kingdom of darkness was destroyed. People want acceptance from God. A lot of the craziness that we see in our world today comes from a deep longing for acceptance from a holy God. God made the way through Jesus Christ, who is the Beloved, in whom we have forgiveness of sins and restoration. And that's the way we are accepted. We are accepted in the Beloved, who is Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus is someone we can trust implicitly. Our faith is not in vain. It is well placed. Jesus is the author of it and the finisher of it. The resurrection of Christ demonstrates that Jesus has overcome the world. He has overcome every enemy. We overcome because we are in him, in the one who overcame. We may struggle to trust God, especially if and when we have been betrayed. But we must think about this. While Jesus was being betrayed at the same time, he instituted communion and established the new covenant in his blood. Every place his blood was shed overcame the curse, infirmity, disobedience, unbelief, iniquity, and every enemy. Jesus proved, he demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was raised in power and glory with the power of an endless life that we might have life. Number three, I just want the truth. But can we handle the truth? The Word of God is truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. God is the one true and living God. We can know the truth. And when truth is revealed to us, the Holy Spirit helps and enables us to receive the truth. We will know the truth. It will set us free. The resurrection of Christ confirms the witness of the apostles' preaching of the gospel of Christ. Christ came to bear witness to the truth. John Piper says, quote, Jesus has a right to tell us what is absolutely true because in the resurrection, God proved him to be absolutely true, unquote. Number four, relevancy. We long for relevancy, for our lives to be relevant, to have meaning and purpose. The resurrection of Christ out from among the dead means the power is there to be called out of darkness into the light of Christ, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Don't pity the Christians. Don't fall into self-pity. Walk in the power of the resurrection. Our lives have meaning. We serve a risen Savior who is Lord of lords and King of kings, ruler over the kings of this world. Jesus reigns. R-E-I-G-N-S. Our God reigns. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, this slight momentary affliction is working for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Christ is risen. He is alive. He lives in every true believer. He loses none of those given to him by his Father. He wastes nothing. What we do is to be in his name by his grace and for his glory. He strengthens us, so yes, we can. Number five, the resurrection of the body. We'll let the Word of God speak. I'm going to pass this to Stephen to read today.
But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for the star differs, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:35 to 49.
Number six, seeing Jesus face to face. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. The Apostle John saw Jesus. What will Jesus look like? We do not know, but we do know from 1 John 3:2, we do know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. We will see him in his glorified state. In highly symbolic language, John describes what he saw when Jesus appeared to him and commanded him to write the revelation, the unveiling. John heard a voice, and then
and I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze, when it had been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Revelation 1, 12 to 18.
Number 7. Capacity. And this from Revelation 22, verses 3 to 5. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be within the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night in the city, and they will have no need for the light of a lamp or of the sun, for the Lord God will shine on them. You get that? The Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. Number 7, capacity to worship free from the presence of sin, free from its penalty and its power. In the glorified state, true believers justified in Christ join the worship at the throne of God. Revelation clues us in on the worship that goes on. All creation bows down to worship the Creator and Redeemer. This worship goes on continually. The peace of God is central to the highest worship, permeates heaven with serenity. All is orderly, without confusion. Everything is perfect and beautiful. With conscious identity, the redeemed sing new songs. I was, but now I am. I am safe. I am saved. I am fit for this place, this purpose. I belong here. I am home. I am filled with joy and gratitude. I have died and now live in Christ forevermore. It is not about me now. I extol the Lord. Revelation chapters 4 and 5 tell us much. Chapter 4 extols God as Creator. Chapter 5 extols God as Redeemer. Revelation 4:11, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. The worship revealed in these two chapters alone speak of the holiness of God, the beauty of God, the reign of God, and the servants of God. Then we see God as Redeemer, the victory of Christ, the wounds of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and power and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Revelation 5:11-14. Behold, fear not. Jeremiah 17:12 puts it that a glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. This throne is glorious, high, and eternal. The glorious throne is our sanctuary. We buckle before God's greatness. We cannot keep our eyes off of the beauty, the loveliness of Jesus Christ in all his glory. It is in beholding Jesus that perfect love casts out fear. But Jeremiah also warned in his prayer to God for deliverance. In Jeremiah 17, verse 13, we have, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who abandon you will be put to shame. All who turn away will be written in the dust. For they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. And finally, number 8, a living hope. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfaded, kept in heaven for you. We have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter has definitely been transformed. He blesses the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is according to the great mercy of God that God has caused us to be born again to this living hope. Not only that, Peter says those who have been born again to this living hope have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. This inheritance is kept in heaven for those who have been born again. The living hope of which Peter speaks is the confidence that something will happen, even though it hasn't happened yet. We have it already, but not yet. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, I found this quote from compellingtruth.org. So, some people are hopeless. Some are hopeful, but they have no reason to be. And some have a living hope, that is a hope that is founded in the reality of the promises of God. The believer's confidence becomes a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus promises to raise us up. His resurrection guarantees ours. We have this trust. We are kept by the power of God. True believers are not as those who have no hope. So let's live empowered by this living hope. As we have been gripped by God's grace, let us be gripped by the glories of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want that. We need to focus on it. We don't hear about it. The secular world isn't reminding us about it. And the Lord says in his word to remember the Lord your God. The world doesn't help us do that. The word of God helps us do that. Amen. So, Father God, we come to you and we thank you again and for all that the Godhead has done, and that we have redemption at all. And Lord, that Jesus died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, that reconciliation, and so much more. And Lord, we've only touched on the glories of resurrection today. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit continues to reveal truth to each one of us, guiding us into the truth, because we thank you, Lord, for the sending of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit enables us to walk in the Spirit, to walk in truth, to walk in wisdom, to walk in love, to walk pleasing in your sight, as you have said, to find out what pleases the Lord. And so, Lord God, we give you all the praise and the glory today. We celebrate with believers in Jesus Christ around the world today. We celebrate the resurrection, Lord. And may one generation tell it to another generation. We ask this, Lord. We want to honor Jesus today. We want to honor and glorify the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We ask this, O Lord. Help us In Jesus' name, amen. And now, if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.